Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We can be conformed to the world in regard to race, in regard to class, in regard to economics. We can have a snobbery where we look down on people because their skin's a different color, because they speak a different language, because they're from a different cultural class, or because they're in a different economic category. This is all conformity to the world.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in a message titled, Resisting the Pressure to Conform to the World. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You're not to harvest on the Sabbath, or the scripture said you're not to harvest on the Sabbath day. So they had declared that that breaking off of the little grain of wheat, that was equal to harvesting a crop, and they were guilty of violating the law. And Jesus said to them, if you knew what this meant, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And you see, we have to be careful that we don't end up condemning the guiltless because we've set up a standard of righteousness that's not necessarily a biblical standard. It's more of maybe a legalistic system that we've developed or we picked up from somewhere else. So that's not necessarily what Paul's talking about. Conformity to the world is taking on the behavior and attitudes that are prevalent in the culture that are contrary to God's standards and values as revealed in His Word. You see, that's the thing that we have to understand. God has revealed to us in His Word specific things that are acceptable and things that are unacceptable, and to be conformed to the world would be to embrace those things, to give ourselves over to those things that the Lord has prohibited. And we are tempted to do that in this world that we live in. We live in a culture of deceit and falsehood. Falsehood and deceit dominate our culture today. People lie all the time and they don't think twice about it. It's just part of life today. This again is where we see the erosion of that Christian veneer that was once upon the culture. There was a time when people were not necessarily born again Christians, but they knew that you shouldn't lie. They knew you should be honest. Truth was a virtue. And so, regardless of their personal religious experience, they were committed to telling the truth. Those days are long gone. You don't find that many people that are all that concerned about truth today, do you? And because we live in a culture that is dominated by deceit and falsehood, we face the temptation to be dishonest ourselves. I've talked to so many people in business. I've talked to people that have told me, you know, if I conduct my business honestly, I'll have to shut my doors because I won't be able to do anything. You got to play the game. You've got to just deal with what you've got. And you've got to, you know, you've got to twist the truth here and there a little bit. And you can't go out there and just be an honest guy. You'll get mowed down. You'll get steamrolled over. And so that person ends up adopting deceitful types of methods through which they're conducting their business. And that person ends up conforming to the world. That's what conformity to the world is. You're conforming to the world. You're getting squeezed into the world's mold. No, the believer says, no, I don't do that. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what the common practices are today in our business culture. I'm going to conduct myself according to the Word of God, and I'm going to trust God to keep me afloat. We live in a sexually immoral culture. And so, again, there's plenty of temptation that comes to us and plenty of pressure that comes to us. You know, again, used to be, even not all that long ago, we used to use the term of people were living in sin. And that was a way you referred to people who were, you know, living together but not married. Well, that term has like been completely discarded these days. And today, the mentality is, if you're not living together or haven't at least slept together or experienced sex together, then how could you ever know that you could be compatible to get married? I mean, come on. You know, that's stupid. This is just what you do. And that's what the culture says, and that's what the culture accepts. And so we get that pressure that comes to us, and unfortunately, lots of people who are Christians, they get squeezed into that mold, and they find themselves just doing what the culture says is the normal and acceptable thing to do. And this is, the pressure is powerful, and as we can see, it's becoming more and more intense. This kind of pressure to embrace, to accept, to just agree that lifestyles that are clearly sinful according to the Bible are just fine, and nobody should say anything negative about it or feel in any way that type of thing is wrong. And we can come under that intense kind of pressure that causes people to buckle under that pressure. I think of just the church in general, how much of the church in the West in particular has just caved in completely to the pressure to accept homosexuality. You know, you can expect it of the liberal churches because, of course, they don't believe the Bible in the first place, so they don't have a real basis to judge it by. But when you see people who claim to be believers in the Bible, and yet they're waffling and they're wavering, and they're saying, well, you know, we've got to rethink this, and we, you know, probably shouldn't even talk about it for a long time. We need to go back and just see what the perspective ought to be for the day. And we find this kind of thing going on. This is conformity to the world. The world is saying, this is what you should believe. This is what you have to accept. And people in the church are saying, okay, all right. And they're embracing it. And it's wrong. We live in a culture of hedonism. Hedonism is just living for pleasure. And Christians can often find themselves in those kinds of things where, you know, just go with the flow, just embrace the culture, just, you know, live for yourself. And you deserve it. And then we develop these extra biblical philosophies that tell us things like, you know, what really matters is that you're happy. And what really matters is that you're enjoying life, and anything that interferes with that or anything that is in conflict with that, you need to get rid of that, and you just need to go out there, and God wants you to enjoy yourself, and he wants you to have a great time, and he wants you to experience pleasure. And, you know, most people won't come right out and say it so blatantly, but subtly, that's what's going on.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Christians sometimes are very much like non-Christians in their lifestyles and their behavior and the things that they're engaged in. And it's a hedonistic lifestyle. And you're hard-pressed to see the difference between a believer and an unbeliever sometimes. We live in a culture of pride and self-centeredness. And again, there's that pressure that comes upon us. Man, living for self. And remember, the scriptures warned us that as the days approached for the return of the Lord, one of the things that would become more and more prevalent would be men would be lovers of themselves. People would be lovers of themselves. And that's the culture that we live in today. And we have the pressure to love ourselves, to put ourselves first. We have that pressure to allow our pride to drive us and to determine the things that we're going to do, the decisions that we make, and so forth. We live in a culture of unbelief. We live in a culture of unbelief. And again, the church is pressured to disbelieve. And I can't believe how easily the church capitulates. So some people come along and they say, well, you know what? Science has proven that there were never, you know, two people that all of the human race began with. That's genetically impossible. This whole thing about Adam and Eve is mythology. And we know that evolution is true. And some well-meaning but highly misled Christian scientist latches onto that and starts promoting it. And pretty soon you've got segments of the church that are saying, well, you know, it doesn't really matter if there was an Adam and Eve. You know, that could be mythology. That's okay. But, you know, we're still Christians and we still love Jesus. But, you know, you take away Adam and Eve, you take away Genesis, then you don't get a gospel. Because the reason there's a gospel is because sin. And the Bible tells us the reason there's sin is because those people led us into sin. And the reason Jesus came was to redeem us from sin. I was reading in Mark chapter 10 today. And I love where it just, you know, it's sort of incidental, but yet it's addressing, you know, some very important issues. And there in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking about marriage, and he's speaking to the Pharisees and debating with them. And, you know, he says, it was because of the hardness of your heart that Moses allowed you to divorce. He said, but that wasn't the case originally. He said this. He said, for in the beginning, God created them male and female. So Jesus believed that in the beginning of time, man was created by God, male and female, Adam and Eve. Jesus believed Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Jesus believed it. Now, if Jesus believed Genesis 1 and 2, how could anybody in the church, any so-called church leader, stand up and say, it's not true? That's mythology. Didn't really happen. And you'd say, well, look, Jesus believed it. Oh, well, Jesus was just, you know, he didn't want to rock the boat in his culture. He just was going along with the story as they thought it was. Some people have gone so far as to say, well, Jesus didn't know. You know, he was ignorant of those things. He didn't study anthropology. This is the culture of unbelief that we live in, and we've got Christians compromising, conforming to the world. I was reading an excerpt from a book the other day, and it's a book where it's a compilation of a number of different, you know, Christian leaders. And this particular person is a well-known physicist. And he's a physicist as well as a clergyman. And, you know, I'm reading this, and of course he's speaking as a Christian, and I'm not going to say that he's not a Christian. I think he probably is. Seems to He acknowledges Christ as his Lord and Savior and so forth. But, you know, as I'm reading this, he's just talking about the billions and billions of years, and he's going into, you know, he's just completely bought into the whole evolutionary thing. And then he goes into, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, then he goes into this whole other thing where he's talking about the fact that, you know, you don't need to know Jesus to be saved. You know, in the end, lots of people are going to be in heaven that never knew Jesus here on earth. And I think, well, you know, this guy, I mean, he might be a good physicist, but he's a really bad theologian. He probably ought to concentrate a little bit more on that side of his development. But my point is this. So he gets up and says this, and because he's, you know, has a doctorate in physics, people just take it like, wow, that all must be true, because look what he said. Well, he just basically spouted unbelief. And so many are conforming to that. So these are the kinds of things that we're talking about. And they are things that we can conform to the world. Of course, there's the personal temptations to conform to the world, but then also, as I'm speaking to the church collectively as well, as the church collectively, we have to be careful that we're not conforming to the world. But there's one more area that I want to touch on in conforming to the world, and these are the more subtle temptations to conform, and they have to do with things related to the pride of life. Being overly concerned with one's image can cause you to compromise. And again, I think, you know, looking at this exhortation not to conform, you know, sometimes we concentrate on those external things and say, oh, I'm not doing any of those things. But then there's a whole other area that's much more subtle and much more insidious that we do allow. And it's in this type of an area here where we're overly concerned with our image. And here's an example of how that works itself out. What will my friends think if my son or daughter goes to Bible college instead of to USC, Harvard, Cambridge, or Oxford? Oh, no. No, son. No, sweetheart. Bible college. No, you need to go to a real university. You need to follow in mom and dad's footsteps. You need to get that degree so we look good. Of course, they don't add that part. But that's what's happening. Because there's an image. And listen, I have seen this repeated many times over. I've seen these kinds of things where a parent says, why does that child of mine want to be a missionary instead of a lawyer or a doctor? What's the matter with that kid? We brought them up right. We took them to Sunday school. We brought them to church. We made them say their prayers. And now they want to go to the mission field. Where did we go wrong? It's crazy what people will come up with. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. I've heard this kind of stuff from Christian parents. But what is that about? It's about an image. You see, that, you know, that just doesn't go with who we are. Doesn't go with who we are as a family. We don't do that. We're educated, and we're from a certain class, and this is what Paul's talking about. Not being conformed to the world. And we can be conformed to the world in regard to race, in regard to class, in regard to economics. We can have a snobbery where we look down on people because their skin's a different color, because they're from a different country, because they speak a different language. or because they're from a different cultural class, or because they're in a different economic category. This is all conformity to the world. And this kind of stuff happens, and it happens in churches, and you get cliques in churches, and you get all of these divisions, and you get people that won't associate with other people. And, you know, when you extrapolate that out, you get churches that just cater to one kind of people. It's a church for, you know, this people in this economic bracket. And then there are people for in this social class. And then we've got churches for people who are this color. And all of that is completely contrary to the biblical picture of what the church is supposed to be and what Jesus intended. And so we have got to put all of these things aside. This is conformity to the world, this type of stuff. You know, thinking that it would just be the end of the world to have to move out of Newport Beach. Man, if I didn't have a Newport Beach address, that would be, might as well just end it all. Some people think that way. They talk about, oh, they, you know, people, you know, even live on the border. They actually live in Costa Mesa, but, you know, they kind of like to say they live in Newport because don't want people to know you live in Costa Mesa. I mean, come on. God forbid you have a Santa Ana address. I mean, that just... But it's true, isn't it? This is how we are. This is how people are. We're like this. I think the younger generation today, these kids, you know, now... You know, there's hip places to live now, you know, really for hipster people, you know, really cool younger people. And L.A. has become like a hipster center. And so, you know, it's like a lot of the kids in Orange County here, they moved up to L.A. And now they look back at Orange County with disdain. Yeah, because Orange County is not nearly as hip as L.A. is. You know, and man, if you can get to New York City, you are in the center of hipness. That is the cultural epicenter. Or San Francisco or London or whatever. But, you know, these are the kinds of things. I mean, this is just human nature, isn't it? But this is the kind of stuff that Paul's talking about. Don't be conformed to the world. This whole image thing. We need to shed that. That's the world. That's what the world puts up. And again, it's not even an external thing. It's not how you dress. It's not your appearance necessarily. It's not the music you listen to. It's not the kind of, it's more of a heart issue. Because you could externally be like the hippest person on the planet, but you're truly humble and you just love everybody and you don't really care what anybody's address is. And you don't really care about those things. That's the way it should be. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, God's not calling us to strip our personal identity away. He's not telling us that we all have to, you know, conform to a certain type of a dress code or something like that. You think of people like the Amish, you know, what they have misinterpreted and misapplied these things here.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, about this month's Back to Basics resource.
We had Christopher Ewan and his mother and father here at Calvary Chapel on this Sunday morning. It was so well received.
It was amazing. Christopher Ewan is a professor of Bible at Moody Bible Institute, and yet his story of coming to Christ is absolutely amazing.
And what's the name of his book?
The name of the book is Out of a Far Country. And it is subtitled, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. And it's really the story of this family who are essentially atheist, but eventually they all come to faith in Jesus. And it is riveting. It is such a powerful, powerful story. And especially if you have friends, family members, or you're in contact with people and, you know, struggling with or questions about the homosexual lifestyle and all of that. This is a superb book written from somebody who is on the inside of the whole gay movement and yet has now come to know Christ in a powerful way. So highly recommend that you pick up Out of a Far Country.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God and A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, Out of a Far Country, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by Christopher and Angela Ewan. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.